Radio. We appreciate you worshiping with us today. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer, and then we will enjoy some singing and ask you to join our hearts in song today as we worship the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege that we have to pray. Bless our time this morning, and we thank you for loving us, and we ask you to go with us. May we worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, hymn number 175. Is that right, Brother Buddy? Standing on the Promises. We'll sing the first, second, and last verses as we're all standing, sing 175. Such a blessing. We're glad that she's here. She's all decked out in that beautiful purple dress. Boy, she's looking good today, isn't she? What a blessing. So you pray for the choir at this time.
Choir number 358. Won't it be wonderful there, number 358.
Wonderful there.
about it today.
Where Jesus is, and that's going to make everything right, isn't it? Amen. All right, let's turn to hymn number one. Let's see, 199, is that right, Brother Buddy?
Yes.
199 for our fellowship song, first and second fellowship, and come back on the last. 199.
Thank you.
You are enjoying the beautiful day thus far, and the Lord is good and greatly to be praised on this Lord's Day. Well, let's be sure and pray for Miss Teresa as she sings for us this morning, and pray the Lord will give her what we will be blessed by in His will today. So pray for her.
They sent for Jesus, your friend's about to die. Oh, tarried he still far behind. So they laid Lazarus in the tomb and said their last goodbyes. Then coming down the road was Jesus right on time. Just hold on, my child, because he's not too far away. And he knows your need before you pray. So when your feet get weary from the mountains you have climbed, look ahead, here comes Jesus right on time. I've struggled through life's deserts. They were all so hot and dry, till it seemed all hope was gone and I would die. Then I wondered, where was he? Is he still a friend of mine? Then coming down the road was Jesus right on time. Just hold on, my child, because he's not too far away. And he knows your need before you pray. So when your feet get weary from the mountains you have climbed, look ahead, here comes Jesus right on time. Just hold on, my child, because he's not too far away. And he knows your need before you pray. So when your feet get weary from the mountains you have climbed, look ahead, here comes Jesus right on time. So when your feet get weary from the mountains you have climbed, look ahead, here comes Jesus right on time.
Phrase right on time. Right on time.
It's like I preached that message a few weeks ago in the storm. Sometimes I don't see him, but thank God he sees me in the storm. And he comes right on time walking on the water. So that's the way the Lord is, isn't it? All right, if you'll turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Psalms, Psalm 12. Psalm 12. Now, the month of May has been set aside by many churches as the month to commemorate the birthday or anniversary, if you will, of our King James Bible. The 400th anniversary of our King James Bible. And many churches are taking the month of May and recognizing this commemoration. It is something that should be commemorated and honored. To have anything in existence for 400 years is in its own right a miracle. Now, while I'm thinking about it, over here on the book table, there are some issues of the Sword of the Lord that were given to us. If you'd like to get a copy, there are several very good articles on our King James Bible in there. If you'd like to get that, and you come pick that up before you leave, it don't cost a thing. They were sent to us free by the sword. And if you'd like to get a subscription, you can do all of that. But yeah, there's some good stuff in there. So if you want to get that, that'll be a blessing. I'm not going to talk a lot about the technical stuff today. There's a lot of technical stuff. I may sometime in the future combine our Sunday school classes. I have a series of worksheets and lessons that I do on why do we use the King James Bible. And so I may do that in the future and do that for both of our Sunday school classes and deal with that and maybe teach on the technical stuff. But I'm not going to deal with a lot of that today, but I do want to talk about the importance of God's Word and why we need to pay attention and be reminded of those things. So I want you to look at chapter 12 of the Psalms. And we're going to look at two verses. We're going to look at verses 6 and 7 if you are there in your Bible. It says, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts and help us to be reminded again of the blessed old book that we have. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, verse 6 deals with one thing. Verse 7 deals with another. I will tell you what those two things are, and then we'll look at some other passages this morning. But I want to think about this blessed old book, the Bible, that we have. And then to clarify it even more, the King James Version that we have. Now, verse number 6 deals with inspiration, and verse 7 deals with preservation. Now, the Bible says the words of the Lord are pure words. We have enemies. You understand that. We have enemies that hate the Bible. Well, they should, because the Bible is the most powerful thing on this earth. The Bible is more powerful than the atomic bomb. Now, the atomic bomb can blow areas up totally. That's true. And you say, well, how can anything be more powerful than an atom bomb? But the atom bomb is a one-time occurrence. Once it blows up, it's blown up. But this Bible has the power and has had the Bible longer than 400 years to change people's lives. So therefore, because it has that power, then it makes sense that there are enemies of the Bible. Atheists are not intimidating. I've never been intimidated by an atheist because the Bible tells me about an atheist. The Bible says that the fool hath said in his heart there is no God. So my Bible tells me that an atheist is a fool. Now, I didn't call him a fool. God's Word called him that. So I have to accept what the Bible says. So I'm not intimidated by a fool. But I'll tell you who my enemy is. My enemy is somebody that attacks this Bible. Now that might be a harsh statement to make. But this Bible is given to us because it says this, the words of the Lord are pure words. Now how pure is this Bible? Notice it says the words. We're talking about everything within the boundaries of your leather-bound Bible. Everything in this Bible, the words are pure words. How pure are they? Look at the next statement. As silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified how many times? 7 times. Now I do not know, I have not seen the difference between silver as it comes out of the ground and then as it is purified. I've never seen that. But I do understand gold. Gold comes out of the earth yellow. And then when you purify gold to its absolute ultimate nth degree, gold, according to the Bible, is transparent, clear. That's ultimate purification. 7 times they put the silver in the furnace of the earth and it comes out purified. God's word has been taken. All elements of earthly contamination has been removed from your Bible. Now, we have people who talk about the Bible and they said, well, you know, the Bible is a good book and it teaches some wonderful things. But then they begin and they try to cast doubt on the Bible. They'll say things like there are mistakes in the Bible. Are there mistakes in the Bible? Absolutely not. You say, well, how can you prove that? There's a lot of things I can't prove and you can't either. But there's where faith comes in. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And just because I can't explain anything, doesn't mean that it's not so. I cannot explain how wiring goes through this building and how that if I go over there to where those switches are and I move a switch one way or another, these lights react accordingly. I can't explain that. I don't know how to do it. I'm not an electrician. I don't know how that happens. I don't know how that you have an outlet and that outlet has those sockets and you take and you plug something electrical in there and all of a sudden you flip the switch and the CD player or whatever turns on. I can't explain that, but just because I can't explain it doesn't mean it doesn't happen. I don't understand how if I were to take my finger and stick it in that electrical socket and it knocked me back 3 or 4 feet off my feet onto the ground, doesn't mean I'm a believer. I guarantee you I'm a believer. When my head hits the pew, I guarantee you I'm a believer. But I'll tell you, just because I can't explain it, doesn't mean it's not so. And the people say, oh, well, this Bible's all full of contradictions. Well, prove it. If somebody wants me to prove the contradictions or not, I want them to prove to me, what do you say the contradictions are? Because I guarantee you the people who say that the Bible is contradictory have never read it. Okay? That's the bottom line. Get in that book and read it for 20 or 30 years like many old-time saints of God have, and they'll be more affirmed to tell you that that Bible has never had one single solitary mistake, one single solitary error in it. Now that brings up an interesting point. That brings up this point. Some people say, well, we do not have the original King James Bible. And we don't. Sometimes you might be able to go into a bookstore and you may find, and they have printed, facsimiles of the original printing of a King James Bible. And good luck if you can read it. Because back in 1611, bottom line is, the letters were fashioned and shaped differently. A U looked like a V. An S looked like a small case F in our vocabulary, okay? So through the process of time, the King James Bible has been just exactly what verse 6 says, purified 7 times. They have brought relevance to it. Now, I'm not talking about translations. I'm talking about taking the text of the King James Bible and making it as purely according to what was called the received text or the textus receptus from where we get our Bibles. Now, again, I said I'm not going to spend a lot of time with the technicalities. There's some good articles in the Sword over technicalities if you want to read that. All right? There are many, many, many versions of the Bible. Not all of them came from what we have as our King James text. Our King James text came from something called the Textus Receptus. People call it in technological circles the TR. And so that's the text that we got our King James Bible from. Other Bibles come from texts called a Sinaiticus, which was found in a monastery monk in near Mount Sinai many centuries ago. They found a version called the Vaticanus, which was found in the Vatican many years ago, Roman Catholic. And then there was one called the Alexandrinus, and that came from Egypt, Alexander, Egypt. Now, those are not trustworthy texts. People argue about this. But I want you to think about, if you will, where those three texts came from and tell me if that's trustworthy. Number one, the Alexandrinian text came from Egypt. What's Egypt? Bible scholars, tell me. Egypt is a type of the what? The world. Why would I want a Bible that came from the world? The Sinaiticus text came from Mount Sinai in a monastery monk. Why would I want something that was discarded on a monastery monk centuries ago? Why would I want that? And the third one is the Vaticanus, which came from Vatican, and that's Roman Catholic, and I'm sorry, I'm not Roman Catholic, and I don't need that. But if I go and I study and I look and I do the research on the Textus Receptus from where we get our King James Bible, I know that people can say what they want to, but I think if you go and study history, you will find that God has blessed the Textus Receptus and the King James Version that we have more than any other text or translation that's ever been done or used in the history of this world. I think the fact that we have our King James Bible still in print today for 400 years is a testimony to the fact that it's the Word of God. And if you go and you look at history, you will see that the great revivals that took place and the great awakenings that took place, our King James Bible or the Textus Receptus from where it came from was used to bring about an awesome moving of God. In recent years, they tell me that one of the most sold Bibles in the last maybe 20 years or so has been the NIV. But if you take and look at the longevity of the King James Bible, 400 years it's been in existence, and it is said that the only thing that has outsold the Bible are the works of William Shakespeare. Nothing else has ever outsold the Bible. So the Bible says the words of the Lord are what? Pure words. And God tells me something about this book. It tells me that everything in this Bible are pure. Everything in this Word of God is pure. It's all God's Word. Look, if you will, hold your place there, but look over to the 19th chapter for a second. Psalm 19. Now, I like about the Psalms that when it refers to the Word of God, it uses different types of synonyms. Statutes, law, commandments, whatever. And you'll see in verse 7, verses 7, 8, and 9 has something to say about the Word of God. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Look at the words that are used to refer to the Word of God. Law. Testimony, statutes, commandments, and judgments. Five words and three verses, all used interchangeably to tell you different aspects of what God's Word is all about. But I like the very first one in verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect. There is, again, I reiterate, there is. Do not let any jackleg come and tell you that the Bible is not the Word of God. I want to know where His authority is. I want to know where He's got the right to stand in the face of Almighty God and say, your Word is not perfect. I want to know where he's got the right to look God Almighty in the face and say, this Bible is full of mistakes and errors. I want to know where he gets that opportunity and privilege and authority, because I got news for you. He don't got it. This Bible has stood the test of time. This Bible will stand when you and I are dead and gone. Sister Parsons is 99 years of age. That book got here long before she did, and going to be way gone before any of us are taken out of here. This Bible, this Word of God, is the Holy Word of God. I like it because the Bible, some of our Bibles are printed in the front, it says Holy Bible. It is. It is a Holy Bible. It is not some old book. It is not something that shows disrespect. I appreciated something that a little girl, I don't know how old she is in our Christian school, but she came to me and she said, Mr. Moore said one of the students, and she called that student by name, had taken the Bible and had taken a crayon and had taken the pages of the Bible, just where the numbers are, and had colored it with an orange crayon. And I told her that that's God's book and she shouldn't be doing that to God's book. And I said, amen, sister. That little girl, probably about fourth grade. You don't tell me they can't understand. Don't tell me they can't learn. The younger you start a child, they'll pick it up. Don't think they can't. It's mandatory in our Christian school that the children have to learn Bible verses, Bible passages. And so I meet with them every day myself. And our older students, our junior and senior high, have to come back. And this week they're required to be reciting to me Isaiah 53, 1 through 6, word perfect. I had a young man that I did not think could do it. He was the first one to volunteer this week. He said, Mr. Moore, I want to come in your office and I want to say Isaiah 53. And I praise the Lord, he did. He knew it. The little ones, the elementary, they have to do Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, which begin, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the earth. And on down the line. I say, all right, let's do it. And bam, 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 they do it. And they say, why? Because the Bible says to hide the word of God in your heart that you might not sin against God. You know what the problem is today? We need a revival. And the revival that we need is a revival about the knowledge of this old book right here. You know why our churches are powerless? You know why our churches are wimpy? You know why our churches don't see the power of God? You know why we're not seeing the moving of the Lord? It's because we've gotten away from the power of this book. This book is powerful. This book is what we build upon. People say, well, I don't like to deal with that because it's so controversial, or I don't like to deal with that in the Bible because it'll hurt somebody's feelings, or I don't want to be negative. Well, how do you spell the Bible is the final authority in all matters of faith and practice. Let God be true and every man a liar. There's where we messed up. Because people do not believe that God's Word is the holy, precious Word of the living God. Now, look at the next verse in Psalm 12. Now, I told you that the first verse talked about inspiration. God gave us. The word inspiration comes from the word Theopneustos, which means it is the breath of God. Now, have you ever gone into a store and you had a debit card or a credit card and it had an expiration date? And then you go and you did not realize that maybe your expiration date had been 2 or 3 days ago, and you go in and you try to use the card and they say your card doesn't work. And you say, what do you mean my card doesn't work? Everything is fine. And they look at it and they said, you forgot. Look at the expiration date. The expiration date's over. You can't use this card anymore. You know what they're required to do? Matter of fact, they tell me that what they're supposed to do, I don't know if they still do it. Miss Teresa could maybe verify that, but it used to be they'd require that the person who was looking at the card in the business cut it up right there. Okay? But then you're supposed to get a new card. And it's got another expiration date. Now, what does it mean when it says expiration date? If the expiration date was 4/11 last month, you know what that means? You've been carrying a dead card. Life has come out of that card. You can't use it anymore. But then they give you a new card, and it says, all right, new, 4-12. Then guess what? You have a card that has life. Inspire means to breathe life into. Expire means life comes out of. Therefore, the Bible says the Word of God is the inspired Word of God. God's very breath is on this Bible. Okay? And so the words of the Lord are pure words. That's the inspired Word of God. But then look at verse 7. Verse 7 is a beautiful verse, and it ties in with our King James Bible. It says, thou shalt keep them. Now, what's the them? Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them. The them has to refer to verse 6, the words of the Lord. Thou shalt keep them. Thou shalt keep the words of the Lord, O Lord. Thou shalt, I love this word. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation. Look at the next word. Forever. That's why you, now, I don't know if you've ever heard preachers on the radio or announcers on the radio, and they'll say this. It's a little thing, but it just irks me. When I hear these announcers on the radio before they introduce a preacher or a pastor that's going to speak on the rest, and now get your copy of the scriptures. That's the way they say it. Get your copy of the scriptures. Now you know what they're saying without saying it? They're saying that I don't really have the Bible. Because what they're saying is I have something that's fairly reliable. Now, are there any original scriptures left? What I mean is the very scriptures that were written by the old prophets, written by the gospel writers, written by Paul, are any of them in existence? And the answer is no, they're not out there. It's impossible. You can't keep that many centuries, things disintegrate. But you do have copies. And you do have, like I said, some of the copies of the Sinaiticus, the Vaticanus, the Alexandrinian text. Some of those are in museums. But even then, you don't find the whole Bible. Therefore, somebody had to take those manuscripts and had to write versions way before there was a printing press. Tyndale, William Tyndale, was one man who used a printing press to print the scriptures. Now, they burned Tyndale. You know why they burned him? They burned him at the stake. The reason they burned him at the stake was because he printed the Bible. That's why they killed him. When they burned him, Tyndale made a statement, a great statement. He said, it has been my goal that there would be, that the plowboy could read more of the scripture than you who are religious people. What a statement. His goal was to get the Bible, get the Word of God in people's hands. Now somebody says, how do we know that we have a reliable Bible? How do we know that we just don't have something that halfway is a mess or whatever? Look at that seventh verse. Thou shalt keep them. Now here's where I'm different than some of my brethren. I believe that I just do not have a decent, reliable copy. I believe that that Bible on that pulpit that I own and possess and have in my hand is the ever-loving, living Word of the living God. I have no doubt of that. And if you don't believe that, if a preacher gets up in the pulpit, I'll tell you exactly what's going to happen to his ministry. He'll have no power with God if he does not believe that book is God's book. But if he gets up and he says, well, that's the closest thing we got, I don't want to hear it. Well, I think you got to do this and you got to check over here and I don't want to hear it. You don't know where the Word, if they say, somebody said, do you know where the Word of God is? I absolutely, right there. And they'll say, oh, but no, that's not, that's just a reliable copy. Do you know where the Word, yeah, I know where it is. Because the same God that wrote it back yonder and told the prophets what to write and told the gospel writers what to write and told Paul what to write and told James what to write and told the apostle John what to write, that same God who commanded and put the Word of God on paper, not only put it down on paper then, but He has preserved and protected the Bible from that time to 2011. And if I don't believe that, why am I up here preaching it? And if somebody goes to a Bible college and gets up and teaches, and unfortunately we have people that are going to Bible colleges that are not hearing the right thing from their professors. Just because something says Christian college or Christian Bible college or whatever, doesn't mean it's always so. There are people that I'm afraid are in Christian colleges and the professors get up and laugh at this King James Bible. They laugh at it. My answer to that is resign and get you an honest job. There are pastors right now standing in their pulpit making fun of the Bible that we, you and I are worshiping with today. You know what I'm saying? Congregation, fire them and make them go get a job that's honest. Don't get up in the pulpit and make money off of God's people of a book you make fun of and ridicule. This is God's Word. It is to be respected, it is to be revered, it is to be awed, it is to be a blessing, it is to speak to my heart. There's no other book like it. And he said in verse 7, thou shalt keep them. I don't have much. Can God keep me? Can God take care of me? Can God take care of you? Well, why can't he take care of that book? Sure he can. But I love, not only shalt thou keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them. I love the word preserve. Isn't it great? Sometimes people do farming and some of you may do that. You may do some pickling or preserving or whatever, and you write the date on it, and maybe you did it 7/12, and the year was 07 or something, and you say, man, I'd like some Harvard beets. And you go down to your basement or your cellar or wherever you keep it, and you pull it out and you pop it open, and it's been like 07 when it was first done. And my, you pour those beets out in the bowl and you start eating them, and you think, man, they're just as good as they were come out of the ground back in 07. You know why? Preserving. The same Holy Spirit that took and came into my heart when I saved at 15 years of age is the same one that has preserved me and protected me. The Bible says, Ephesians chapter 1, to the day of my salvation. He can keep me. He can preserve me. If he can do that, he can do it to this Bible. He can do it to this Bible. Thou shalt preserve thee. Thou shalt preserve thee. And I do believe over in Psalm 19 verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect. And I like the fact that the Bible says here the words of the Lord are pure words. And another place says this, every word of God is pure. Every one of them. Thou shalt keep them. Thou shalt preserve them. How long? From this generation? Forever. I've made the statement before that I've always been interested in reading Christian biographies. One of my favorites, and I've made mention of it before, is The Hiding Place by Corrie Ten Boom. Corrie Ten Boom was taken, and when she was in her 50s, she was taken to a concentration camp, and they took her so quickly. She had a bag ready in case her home was invaded, and she was sick with the flu when the Nazis came in into her house, and she was so sick and confused that she forgot her bag. In her bag was her Bible, among other things, and she prayed, and she said, "Lord, I don't have a Bible." Somebody sent her a care package, and in the care package there were, you've seen little booklets of individual gospels that are printed, like the Gospel of John, that kind of thing. She had been given, I think it was Matthew, Mark, Luke, and I'm not sure if she had John or not, but she said somebody had sent her. She said, I hung on every word. I read them. It was so precious. And she says, I read. And she said, I would take it. People would come to me, and they would say, other women would come to me and say, what do you have? And she said, I have the Bible. I have the Gospels. And they said, can we read some of it? She said, I would tear pages out of that booklet and pass those pages around so that people could have the Bible. Many of us have 3, 4, and 5 Bibles in our homes and sometimes, unfortunately, do not read them very much at all. But oh, when you realize the preciousness of the Word of God and the fact that the Word of God is what will take you through the storms, why do you think sometimes we have the storms in our lives to drive us into that book? I don't read that book as much as I do out of the storm as when I'm in a storm. That's a sad testimony to me. But it's amazing how, oh Lord, I sure need something from the Word of God today because of what I'm dealing with in my life. But then when things are going kind of easy, I say, well, Lord, that's all right now. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. And then there's another passage. It says, the Word of God, great is the company of them that published it. And I'm glad that somebody, God said, I'm going to get this Word out. Let's say that for some reason, every Bible was obliterated from the face of the earth. There was no, somebody had the power to confiscate every Bible, and nobody had a Bible. Would we be without the Bible? Absolutely not. Because the Bible, as you remember, says in the 119th Psalm, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. It is said that Dr. Jack Van Impe, many years ago, memorized the entire New Testament and probably 2/3 of the Old Testament. By now, he may have the rest of the Old Testament memorized, but here's my point. There are people all over the world that if somebody took away our Bible, there'd be enough people on earth that had memorized the Scripture, it'd be back on paper in no time. Why? Because it is the Word of God. And it has the power to transform and change lives. You are here today. You know why you're here today? Because this Bible changed you. Sitting in someone's house, Brother Buddy's given the testimony how that Mr. James Paul was instrumental in leading him to the Lord. Why? Because somewhere down the line there was this book right here. You may have been sitting in a revival meeting or a church service and somebody preached the Word of God and you got under conviction and you came down and you got saved. You know why? Because that book did the transforming. Somebody might have come to your house and they might have sat at your kitchen table. I read statistics one time that said more people get saved at their kitchen table than anywhere else. I think that was interesting. And maybe somebody sat at your kitchen table and took a Bible or a New Testament and showed you how to be saved. You trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. I've known more than one person who has told me that they got saved at their television listening to the invitation of a Billy Graham crusade. I've had many people tell me that. It doesn't matter the avenue or direction. You may have found a gospel tract in a public toilet. Dr. Wally Beebe, the founder of bus evangelism, was saved because he found a gospel tract in a public toilet and he read it and got saved. I know people who got saved in a motel room reading the Gideon Bible. It doesn't matter which way it went. Somewhere you had a contact with that book. You got saved. There's power in that book. There's power in that book. There's comfort in that book when you're hurting. Isn't it amazing how you read it and things jump at you? And it's like, oh, I needed that, Lord. I needed that. Have you ever done that? Have you ever been so dry spiritually that you said, Lord, I'm going to open my book. I got to have something, Lord, from you. And He'll just, if you will, hose you down. Just give you what you need. That is no ordinary book. That is no ordinary book. Because if it were, some of you have been around the block a while. I'm gonna use Sister Parsons as an example. All the years that she's been saved, I know she's as excited about her Bible now as she was probably many, many, many decades ago. If it were not a special book, she'd never picked it up anymore. I wouldn't have. If I read a regular novel, after I've read it, I've read it. I don't care to read it again. But how many times have we read this book and we say, I want more of it, I want more of it, I want more of it. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of fire, purified 7 times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. If I can leave you a thought, it's a simple thought and you know it. Never lose confidence in that book. It is the Word of God. And you know what I like about the words that we read? Did you notice this? The words of the Lord are pure words. Thou shalt keep them, thou shalt preserve them. There in that 19th Psalm, the law of the Lord is perfect. The testimony of the Lord is sure. The statutes of the Lord are right. The commandment of the Lord is pure. Did you notice present tense? Didn't say the commandment of the Lord was pure and ceased to be. It's always present tense. That means right now, the words of the Lord are pure words. Thou shalt keep them, Lord. Thou shalt preserve them. He has. I have the Word of God. I do not just have a trustworthy copy. I have God's Word in print. And there's where Christianity is messed up. When you don't believe that, what do you have to trust in? What do you have to trust in? You'll start looking somewhere else if you don't know. If you don't believe you've got the Word of God. If all you believe is you just got a reliable copy, what are you going to do? You don't have anything to trust in. You don't have an anchor for your soul. When your ship gets turned around in that storm, that anchor is what holds you down from being tossed to and fro. And there's your anchor right there. Dear preacher friend of mine told me when I first started out in the ministry, he said, when God lays something on your heart, before you ever do it, get a verse from God. He said, let it be your anchor verse. And when the storm comes and you wonder, did you do right? You always go back and say, God, you gave me that verse. It's my anchor verse. And in the midst of the storm, it will hold me securely in. Because sometimes you think you're doing right. And sometimes you think, man, did I do right? But if God gives you a verse and claims it in your heart and shows you by that verse that you're in the right direction, you can say, but God, you can say to the devil, devil, God gave me a verse. And that verse is going to get me through the storm. Amen. Amen. Word of God, let us trust in it. Let us love it. Let us get in it. Let us memorize it. Let us hide it in our hearts. Let us realize that this is the living Word of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your Word. We thank you that it is. It just wasn't past tense, it is the Word of the living God. And I pray now that you will take this simple thought today. Thank you that you have preserved your Word. We thank you that you have preserved for English speaking people. You have preserved this King James Bible for 400 years. But that's not much time if you look at the fact that prior to the printing of the King James Bible, that the original texts were written by the men and women of God that we read about in the Scriptures, and you have just protected and preserved your Holy Word for time and eternity. Oh, how marvelous that is. Those words spoken by the Lord Jesus some 2,000 years ago, you preserved those very words. And we can now pick up Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and read the words of Jesus. And then the words of Paul as he wrote his 13 epistles. And Father, you used him and blessed him, Father, to give us the doctrinal epistles that we govern the church by. Thank you that we can pick it up and read about it fresh every day. The mercies of the Lord are fresh every day. And we can get into this book every day and be blessed by the freshness of this dear Bible. So encourage us in the faith. And if there's somebody here who does not know you as Savior, may the Word of God, may the seed of the Spirit do a mighty work, because we know that the Word of God's able. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, brother, hymn number?
Number 249, Just As I Am. Number 249, As We All Stand. Just as I am, without one reason.
heads and close our eyes for just a moment. Let's look in our hearts. Let me ask you, make sure every one of us know that we know that we know there's been a work of salvation and grace through the blood of Christ in our hearts and lives, that we're saved. God's Word did that. You got saved. You got saved because you had contact with the Word of the Lord. Double check. Make sure in your heart you know you're saved. Make sure God's Word has done a work of reckoning in your life. Christian, are you going through a hard time? Let me tell you where you need to go. Go, you know, I thank God for pastors and Christian counselors, but you'll never find any better help than the Word of the Lord. Get in the book. You say, I don't understand it, then ask God to teach you. He is the great teacher. He'll teach you. You say, I'm not real good at reading. Ask Him to give you a passion to read. He'll do that. He'll help you. He'll help you. That's the source of your life, the source of your strength is this old Bible I have in my hand. If you're not saved, I hope you get saved. Let us talk to you from the Bible and show you how to get saved. You get saved because you have contact with God's precious and holy Word. If you don't know Jesus, would you come to Him today and be saved? Would you come? Would you come? Miss Teresa, play one more time and I'll close the invitation. Bless you. We'll let you be seated. We'll ask the young men to come at this time and receive the Lord's tithes and offerings. Tonight, we will be, this afternoon, 5 o'clock, we'll be having our preaching through the book of Galatians, starting on chapter 3 this evening. So I hope you'll be here. Excuse me, 3 o'clock. 5 o'clock for the Bible study, preaching time this evening, the service. As you're getting ready to give the offering, let me read a card here. A second to break into it. Says, Dear Faith Baptist Church family, thank you so much for the generous graduation gift. I'm thrilled to be a part of your home folk. I look forward to the next couple of months that I get to spend more time in the congregation and in the service. God bless you, Bethany. So thank you again, Church, for sharing with her in this very special time of her life. Thank you. All right, Brother Will, you pray for us, please. Brother Daniel Church. He's very excited about coming to be with us in revival meeting. So please be sure and be in prayer for that as we'll start on the 29th that morning and go through Wednesday night, 7 o'clock on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Pray for us. The Lord will provide the singers that we want to have. We want to have Monday and Tuesday night some singers, and this, of course, the The choir will be singing on Sunday morning, and Miss Teresa will be singing. And so pray that God will minister to all of us and get our hearts ready for revival. So please pray for those things. Have a good day, and God bless you.